Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Rosh Shmiras Halashon class learning. I think it's July the 17th. We are in the second week of the 3 weeks. So we will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Inside flap. Ribbono Shel Olam, Yiratzim Afanecha, Rachim V'chanech, Tezakeni Hayim V'chol Yom, L'shmar Piyu, L'shoni Milashen Har V'chilus, V'ezahar Milidaber, Filu Al Ishiyache, V'kol Shekein Akal Yisrael, Ol Achelech Mehem, V'kol Shekein Mil Yisrael, Em Amidosev, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'ezahar Milidaber, Divrei Sheker, Chanufa, Machlokas, Ka'as, Gaiva, Onas, Dvarim, Habanas, Panim, Peitzanus, V'chol Dibur Asur, V'zakeni Shel Lidaber, Kim Dabar Hatzarech, Inyani Goofy Vinafshi view, Kama Sai with Dibrail Shem Shamayim Amen, with an inschus for an Aliyah Nasham on the Zechanesh Mastvi Gershon Benyo Vachana Alav Hashan. Also, as a schus for Bracha Vigail Basrachel Gitzabisok Sharchalesa. So we are on page 58, but when I was preparing my parasha classes, I came across an insight that I decided not to share in parasha class, but I thought, wait, this is for Shmiras Halashon class. So it's Davar Parasha this week, it's Matos Maaseh, and it's the end of Bamidbar. We finished the book of Bamidbar. It's Shabbat Chazak, they call it Shabbos Chazak. So the last pasuk of Matos, the end of Matos tells us that Reuven got a Chatzu Sheva Menasha, got their chelek on Eiver LeYarden, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And the beginning of Maaseh is Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, that they went out of the land of Egypt, Litziv Osem, according to their legion. So the end of Matos speaks about the portion of Reuven, Gad, Achatzi, Shevet, Menasha. The beginning of Maaseh speaks about the fact that the children of Israel left Mitzrayim according to their legions. These are their journeys, but the pasuk says when they left Mitzrayim. So right at the end of Matos, Menashe starts to conquer land, and Machir ben Menashe got the Gilad, and Ya'ir ben Menashe, and he started to conquer the land. The last words are, Anovach went, and he captured Kenaz, the portion, and Binosah and her suburbs are capturing land. Vayikra la Novach Bishmo. Novach called it after his name. So he conquered this place. Novach is from Menashe, and he called it after its name. Vayikra la Novach. Those are the words that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is going to speak about. And he called it, and Novach called it. Rav Zilberstein says, Vayikra la is Lamed Hey, and then the word Novach. Okay? Nun Vez Ches. So since Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein writes, a Jew came to me, Rav Zilberstein, a gadol and a posek in Bnei Brak, a Jew came to me and told me he lives in a place where there are many dogs, some of which are large and menacing. I'm afraid to leave my house because of these dogs, he said. Is there a skula from Chazal to be protected from these dogs? The person also said he's having trouble earning parnasa, and he asked for a skula to earn parnasa as well. So he needs protection from dogs and parnasa. In a stroke of, writes Rav Zilberstein, divine providence, in a stroke of Ashgacha Prati, shortly before the Jew came to me, this person, I discovered a skula that answers both of these questions. The skula is Shmiras Halashon. The source for this skula is the Sefer Chomos Anach, written by the Chidah. On the verse, Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael, the first pasuk of Maaseh, which says, Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys of the children of Israel that they left Mitzrayim. The Chidah notes a connection between the end of Matos and the beginning of Maaseh. The end of Matos says, Vayikra La Novach, Lamed He, stands for what? Lashon Hara. Vayikra la lashon hara. Now this is not on the level of pshat, obviously everyone understands, right? This is on the level of Josh. Vayikra la novach. Novach means to bark, right? So of Zilberstein, nun beis chas, and la stands for lashon hara. The Chidah says the Torah is hinting that a person who speaks lashon hara will be reincarnated as a barking dog. Vayikra la. He who speaks lashon hara will be called a novach, a barking dog. What does this have to do with the beginning of Maaseh, which tells us that the children of Israel left Mitzrayim? When the Jews were in Egypt, we know one of the things is there was no slander amongst them. The sages tell us that in certain merits they got it. They kept their dress, they kept their language, because I'll say they didn't speak Lashon Hara. Considering the connection between Lashon Hara and dogs, the one who speaks Lashon Hara, says the Chidah, will be come back as a gilgal, as a barking dog. So Rav Zilberstein says something very interesting. Perhaps why they merited on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's a pasuk you're supposed to say that we say when you see a dog and you're afraid of the Chol B'nei Yisrael, Lo yechatz kal v'shon, against all the children of Israel, dog did not sharpen its tongue. It's most perikid aleph pasuk zayin for your reference. So Rav Zilberstein says maybe that's why we merited that no dog barked against us. What did it indicate? That in the schus of not speaking lashon hara, we got out of Mitzrayim. What took us down to Mitzrayim in the first place was Lashon Hara, the brothers and Yosef. Yosef spoke to their father Lashon Hara. So what took us down to Galus? Lashon Hara. What brought us up from Galus? Being misakin that we did not speak Lashon Hara. What's the connection with L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechatz kal v'shon? It's such an interesting thought. Like, what on earth is the Torah telling me in the middle of all the great wonders of Yitzias Mitzrayim? And Moshe's looking for the Atzmos Yosef. People are eating Karban Pesach with their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand. We're finally leaving Egypt. The pasuk tells you no dog was barking. Did we ever even think about that? What is the Torah telling me? You got out in the schus of not speaking Lashon Hara. Therefore, the dogs held there. So what's the connection in the matos? Vayikra la novach, one who speaks lashon hara, lamed hay, will come back as a barking dog. The juxtaposition is to the beginning of Masai. These are the journeys of the children of Israel when they left the land of Egypt. Why does it bring up the land of Egypt? Because how did we merit to leave the land of Egypt? Yeah. By not speaking lashon hara. That's what the Chidah explains. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, not only do those who speak Lashon Hara cause themselves to be stricken, but the world is stricken because of their sin. The Chafetz Chaim continues, for people's livelihood is withheld because of this. As the Gemara teaches, Maseches Tainis, where Shimon ben Pazi said, rain is withheld only because of those who speak Lashon Hara. So again, when we speak our words, it don't only impact on us and the listener and the speaker and the subject. It has a global effect as well. The Chafetz Chaim writes, the livelihood of a person who speaks Lashon Hara is depleted, just as the snake's livelihood was depleted. Continues with Zilberstein, we know a positive measure is always greater than a negative measure. So if someone speaks Lashon Hara and is punished severely, the reverse is true. So now we're looking at the flip side. One who guards his tongue, guarding your mouth, is a skula. Therefore, he told the person both for protection from dogs and from Parnassa. So right away here at the end of the book of Bamidbar, just as we open up, the parasha, the Torah hints to us. There's so much alluded to in the Torah that you don't know at the surface value. So the Chidah says, Vayikra Lanovach, if you want to know how you're going to come back, if you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to come back like a barking dog. Can you imagine such a fate? Do any of us want that? To be misakin for our life. We're going to have to come back as a Gilgal because we couldn't get it right the first time. And how are we going to come back? As a barking dog? And therefore, Elamase ben Esau, Dafka Shur Yatsu Meretz Mitzrayim. You don't need to tell Mishra Yatsu Meretz Mitzrayim, you understand? Everybody knows that the Jews came out of Egypt. What's the juxtaposition? It's a contradiction. On the one hand, you speak Lashon Hara, you'll be a dog. On the other hand, you come into Mitzrayim, you'll be Zocha to journey forth. Therefore, no dogs barked against us when we left. I thought it was very beautiful. Any comments on the Chidah's insight?
I just think there's a lot of barking.
Say it louder for me.
I would just think there would be a lot of dogs out there. Barking dogs.
Where's a loud noise?
I would think there would be a lot of barking dogs out there.
Oh. There are. I just saw someone last week. I just saw a friend. I didn't know this. Her adult daughter was just bit by a dog, she showed me. So there are barking dogs. Hashem is sending us lessons everywhere. We have to see. That's what Chazal say. When things happen in the world, we're supposed to say, what's Hashem telling us as a people? So it's very powerful. It's very, it's frightening. Mm-hmm. I mean, just on the most basic of Pshat, who wants to come back as a barking dog?
I heard that many years ago.
I can't hear.
I heard that many years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. So I never heard it before. I was preparing for Parsha with such Shiata Deshmaya because I came across it and I said, this is how we're starting class. I never heard that. That's very interesting. Okay, anything else? Okay, so now let's go inside, please. What did you say?
So I heard that many years ago about barking with Gilgal. And
I can't hear this morning.
They say Gilgal, and then it came out that Gilgal is like barking dogs.
The Gilgal is?
Barking dogs. That's how they compare.
So if you, you know.
I've heard it from a long time.
I don't know anything about Gilgal, so I don't like to talk more than what I know. I know nothing. Except that, from what I understand, it's if you know, your tafkid wasn't fulfilled properly, so you need to come back as something to be misaking that. So it makes a lot of sense that if you spend your life with idle chatter and wasted chatter and useless chatter, so that's how you're going to come back. So we should just keep that in mind. Okay, so we are on page 58. Right? The last thing we spoke about was Nachas Ruach Lafanei. We had a whole shiur on the power of scent and understanding. And just one note for those who are listening online or for those who are here, just to follow up. So someone said to me after, what if you don't have a sense of smell? And there are such people who don't have a sense of smell. So I said, when Mashiach comes, we're all going to be healed. That's what I think. Listen, I have a hearing loss, so I don't know. Someone's not going to smell Mashiach, and I maybe won't hear the shofar, right? So just like all the Jews were healed by her Sinai, everyone heard and everyone saw. And Chazal tell us, all those who were blind were able to see, all those who couldn't hear, everybody was healed. So too, Be'ezras Hashem, I think we'll cross that bridge and get there. We shouldn't be nervous, because when Mashiach comes, we should be so zocha, we will be able to have our senses restored. Okay, V'imke, now I'm just going to make a bracha, baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shal kol ne'ya b'dvaro. Thank you. V'imke, okay, so that was the last thing we spoke about, Reich Nichoach. The imkain lafima shayadua, and therefore, according to what is known, shekiyum hamitzvos hu yoser chashuv me'akvavas karbanos. The keeping of the mitzvos is more important than bringing karbanos. You know, Rav Soloveitchik says that we have survived 2,000 years without the mikdash. But we've not survived 1 week, he said. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. I'm not saying that the Mikdash is not very important. It's the focal point of our Avodah Hashem, and we daven every day for it to be rebuilt. But the mitzvah is that even without the mikdash, the reality is, we're still here for a very, very long time. It's like 19, I forget how many years it is. I calculated when I was preparing my shirim. It's almost 2,000 years. So we're still here. So what's more important to us, the karbanos or the mitzvos? The mitzvos, because we can survive without karbanos. Even though it's not ideal, we're not recommending it, but we can survive. But we would not be able to survive without kiyum ha-mitzvos. Kiyum ha-mitzvos hu yoser chashuv me'akvavas karbanos, u'kamosha kasu b'shmua, like the pasuk says in Shmua, Shmoa mizavach tov. Listening to Hashem, Shmoa, l'shmoa, is better than a zavach tov, a good offering, a good sacrifice. L'hakshiv, we put a comma in between those, l'hakshiv, to pay attention, mecheliv ilim, is better than the fat of rams. So, here's something very interesting. This pasuk that the Chafetz Chaim is quoting, there's two different levels here of listening. One is shmoa, one is to listen, and the other one is?
Lahakshiv.
And it's very powerful. Why is it so powerful? Because sometimes someone talks to you and you could say, yeah, I'm listening, I'm listening, I'm listening. But the mitzvah is, the reality is, are you paying attention? Are you hearing what they're saying? The pasuk does not give us two different categories for no reason. The first one is you gotta listen. You have to shmoa, you have to listen. But the next level is, Lahakshiv, you have to pay attention to what is being said. Or it's like you're not there. It's like you're not listening. So I wanted to share with you a story, an insight actually, that Pesach Krohn brings down in regard to this. I'm connecting it to this pasuk. Okay. This is a beautiful and very important lesson. Oh, I think it's a very beautiful and important lesson for our day and age. That in our hectic day and age, that just because we're listening, it doesn't mean we're paying attention. I was on fast walk last night, so I walked by Berry Licious. It used to be Off the Wall, now it's Berry Licious. So I saw in the window, I took up Mr. Haskell for myself. I'm not saying anything about somebody else. I'm saying that when I saw this, I said, it's for me. It's a lesson for me. Hashani Mach says, if Hashem wants you to see something, and he's talking to you. So right in the window, you know, when you walk by, you look in the window, there was a father sitting on the two-seater right next to the window. A father, and I hope it was his daughter, because she was a little girl next to this from man, so I assume this is his daughter. She was eating her ice cream, and he was on his phone. Now, it could have been just for a minute. It could have been an emergency phone call. Could have been his wife texted him. I understand. I literally saw the whole scene for 2 seconds that I was walking by. But he says, Hashem wants you to see something. He's talking to you. So I'm not talking about him. You understand? I have no idea what he was doing. Maybe there was an emergency and his wife needed him. It's fine. But the moment that I saw the image was a father on his phone next to a daughter just staring into space eating her ice cream. So I said, what's the message for me? The message for me is really this pasuk. Shmo mizavach tov. Hashem needs our karbanos. It's the Savtor of Shabbat Chazon, of Shabbos Chazon, that when we don't have Kavanah in what we're doing, Hashem doesn't want it. He rejects our Kabbalahs. Lahakshiv Mechelev Idim. Are you really paying attention to what's going on around you? Because I'll teach a Masech Shabbos. I'm quoting from a Pesach Kron. The Gemara teaches Masech Shabbos. So a person should always be as humble as Hillel. Whenever Hillel cited this Meseches Reuven 13b, whenever Hillel cited both his teachings and the teachings of Shammai, so you want to say I said Avart and my friend said Avart, Hillel always gave precedence to Shammai's teachings. It's because of his humility that we mostly paskin like Hillel. Chas Nerus V'alacha K'Beis Hillel, except for I believe 18 times between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, we always paskin like Beis Hillel. Why? Because the Gemara teaches he was no chalin ve'aluvin. That's the lashon of the Gemara. He was forbearing. He was patient. He gave kavod to Shammai. Yet during, listen to this, during the Simchas Beis Yeshua, the celebration in the Beis HaMikdash, talking about the Mikdash, Hillel said something that seems out of character. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sukkah 53a, Hillel said in front of the festive crowd gathered, Im anikan hakol kan. This is such a beautiful var. What? Im anikan hakol kan. You know what that means? If I'm here, everything is here. What do you mean if I'm here, everything? Are you the humble Hillel who wants to convert the convert on one foot? And what do you teach him? Don't do to your friend what is hateful for you. Aren't you Hillel who gives precedence to the words of Beis Shammai before your words? Aren't you Hillel who says goes in the ways of Aaron, love peace, pursue peace, love peace? Isn't that Imani Kana Kokan? What does he sound like? The biggest Baal Gaiva. If I'm here, everything is here. This statement seems inappropriate. Someone is somebody, especially someone as humble as Hillel. So Rabbi Kron quotes Rav Shmuel Ackerman, who's a noted child therapist, who heard an insight from his Rebbe, Rav Nissen Alper, who I'm sure some of you have heard of, Zatzal, who's one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Nissen Alper brings such an unbelievable ha'ara into this Imani Kana Kokan. By the way, he was nifter of Alper in 1986. Imagine what he would say today. Listen what Rav Albert said. Hakol does not refer to people coming to the temple. Mani kind of kol kan. If I'm here, everyone is here. Everything is here. What does it refer to? Hillel was referring to himself. Listen to this, said Rabbi Albert. He was saying, if I'm here, I am totally here. You've heard this before? You remember. See how impactful the story is? You remember. I don't remember every story in the book that I read. Mani kan hakol kan. What is Hillel saying? Said Rabbi Albert, if I'm here, I am totally in the moment, right? Rav Kron, I'm paying full attention to you. My mind is not wandering. I'm not thinking about other things. I'm not impatiently waiting for you to finish what you're saying. You know, just get on with it. Even if I'm paying attention, I'm wondering, how soon can I get out of here? You have my undivided attention. In today's idiom, one would say, and these are Rav Kron's words, and again, Rav Albert was nifter in 1986, so this wasn't yet relevant to him. I don't text or answer my cell phone while I'm talking to you. That's what ani kan, hakol kan means in today's language, said Rav Kron, based on Rav Albert. I don't text or answer. What does it mean, ani kan, hakol kan? If I'm here, the entirety of Hillel is here. I don't text or answer while I'm talking to you. That's Derech Eretz. That's true humility, refined character that epitomizes Hillel. Recent study, says Rav Kron, shows rudeness is on the rise. People will check their emails and texts in the middle of a conversation, in the middle of a business meeting, in the middle of davening, Rachman al-Sani writes, exclamation mark. Rabbi Ackerman says, this hurts, this lack of attention hurts our children, our employees, and our relationships. I just want to add in, I think it hurts ourselves. That's the first person that we really hurt. And by damaging ourselves and by not even being aware, therefore we damage other people. We can learn from Hillel what focusing on another individual is about. When children know we are there from them, commitment, attention, it reduces fear and anxiety. Again, I have no idea what the guy in the yogurt store was doing. I said, do you understand? It could really be. Maybe his wife texted him and he needed to reply. I literally saw for 2 seconds. I'm just trying to derive a Musar Haskel for myself what an outsider views when you see a father and a daughter sitting on a chair and she's looking into space eating ice cream and he's on a cell phone. Again, it could be an emergency. I'm sure it's me many times. That's why I'm trying to bring a Mr. Haskell here. When employees know they have their employees' attention. Now, my husband told me something recently. It's very interesting. At certain meetings that they have in the office, some of you may have heard of, there's a bowl in the middle of the table and everyone has to put their phone in the middle of the table for the meetings, because otherwise what happens during the meeting? No one's paying any attention to what's going on the topic at hand. When employees know, says Rav Kron, they have their employees' attention, they produce more. And certainly, and this is Lahavda of Alfei of Dallas, when we are totally focused on Hashem during tefillos, they are more apt to be answered. At the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when there were thousands of people, many surely came to greet the Gadol, the Gaon, Hillel, he may have been assuring each one of them, I'm giving you my undivided attention. How special that must have been. We should take the lesson to heart. Connect with not only our children, not only our friends, but all those around us in the workforce who crave our attention. Shachter, told me, but specifically he told my husband, my husband was talking to him last week, Rav Shai Shechter told me that Rav Asher Weiss came to camp. Rav Shechter was a Ham Rabbi in Camp Simcha for 2 weeks. He just came back a week ago. And he told my husband, Rav Asher Weiss spent a day in camp. He was only supposed to be there like for an hour, so he ended up being there for hours. He spoke personally to every one of the children. Rav Shechter told this to my husband. They last Tuesday night he told them. He spoke to every single one of the children. He gave his undivided attention to every one of them. He listened to them, gave the bracha. And you know, even if it's only a brief amount of time, it doesn't have to be a long amount of time. Even if all you have with somebody is 2 minutes, but still that person knows when those 2 minutes are imani kan hakol kan, or those 2 minutes are ani kan, but I'm thinking about where do I have to be next? It's very, very powerful. So related to this, it's a lot of muster. It's muster for myself. I'm telling to myself, it's sobering. So related to this illuminations of the Magen, I want to quote a Medrash. And the Medrash tells us, everything's okay. So this is Medrash Rabba, Medrash Shmos Rabba, and Parshas Yisro. So the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abahu said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kishenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es HaTorah, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Tzipar lo tzavach, the birds did not chirp, Of lo parach, the birds, the of, the tzipar lo tzavach, of lo parach, different winged creatures did not fly, Shar lo ga'a, ox did not, whatever you translate it as, animals did not make noise, Ofanim lo afu, the angels were still, Srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh, the heavenly, divine, celestial beings did not proclaim God is holy. Hayam lo nizda'aza, the sea did not move. Habrios lo diberu, their people did not speak. So what's going on by Matan Torah? It's as if there's no creation moving in the world. The birds are not moving, they're not chirping, they're not flying, the animals are not making noise, people are not speaking, the sea is not moving, even the celestial angels are not moving or talking. Ela ha'olam shosek. Umachrish, the world was quiet and like stunned, deaf in silence. V'yatza hakol anochi Hashem elkecha. All that was heard. You know, we talk about background noise. You know, talk about light pollution. There's also sound pollution. Light pollution means, my mother just sent me an email last night, in southern Canada, you could see the northern lights. Has anyone ever seen the northern lights? Aurora Borealis? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I was zochet to see it once in my entire life in the country when I was much younger, in my parents' summer home up in Toronto. We were on the dock over Lake Simcoe. It was just like, it's dancing green lights in the sky. It's like an unbelievable thing. I don't know if I'll be able to zochet to see it again. I don't know if I'm going to Alaska anytime soon. It's an amazing thing. So the article said they're visible, but the article specifically said don't expect to see them if you're in the city or a place where there's light pollution. It's not going to work. So too, there's sound pollution. Even when we think it's quiet, there's trucks, there's the crash of the ocean, there's birds, things make noise. At the time, Matan Torah was absolutely silent. And then Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elkecha. So I first heard this Medrash was first brought to my attention this past Shavuos. We had a way for Shavuos, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter spoke about preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah, and he spoke about all the noise, the impact on the world at the time of Ma'amad Har Sinai. There was fire, there was smoke, everybody was quiet. He brought different sources showing the impact that Matan Torah had on the world. This was one of the sources, but last night, on my fast luck, you try and, you know, make the hour not wasted, so I saw the guy in the stores. I try to take a lesson for myself that I hope I can implement in my life. So I was listening to the Shir of Rav Shechter from last week on introduction to Hilchos Muksa, but it was on the sanctity of Shabbos. But one thing that I want to relate to our learning right now is how Rav Shechter interpreted this Mishnah, and it was extremely interesting. On the surface value, it means that the world, you know, when you're stunned into silence and you have nothing to say, like it's so awesome that you're just quiet. Yes, sometimes that happens in our life. So the world was quiet because Hashem was giving the Torah. Rav Shechter interpreted this Medrash, did I say Mishnah? This Medrash differently. He was saying, are you ready? In order for Hashem to give the Torah, the world had to be not distracted with everything else. You have to turn off all the background noise in order to hear Hashem in your life. What does it mean the birds weren't chirping, the ox wasn't lowing, or whatever you call what an ox does, the waves weren't crashing, nothing was flying, the heavenly angels were quiet? Then Hashem said, Anochi Hashem. What does it mean? He was there before, said Rav Shechter, but Hashem wasn't there before. Hashem wasn't saying Anochi Hashem to the whole world. We didn't hear him. It was so noisy. We were so distracted. We were so busy running. What's the next text? What's the next email? Who needs me now? Where do I have to be? I didn't even know Hashem was talking. I didn't turn myself off. I think this relates so powerfully to what Hillel said, the way Rav Albert Zatzal explained it. You have to be in the moment to pay attention to what's happening right in front of you. So of course Hashem was there. Avraham Avinu recognized him, and of course Hashem was there. He spoke to Adam and Chav, and he created the whole world. But what was the problem? We were so tuned out. We were so distracted by all the noise. Imagine in today's generation, we couldn't hear Hashem. It's not the same as the way I heard explained by Dr. J.J. Schachter. Both interpretations work. One is the whole world was stunned into silence because it was so awesome. The other one is you need silence in order to hear Hashem in your life. You need to turn off everything around you to recognize what's going on right in front of you. That is Imani Kan, Hakol Kan. And therefore, once everything was quiet, Yatza Hakol. What does it mean, Yatza Hakol? The voice and forth, the voice was always there. We just didn't pay any attention to it. We couldn't hear it in our lives. Yes, you were saying something.
Pesach Kron always says, you have to disconnect to connect.
I don't know why I can't hear it today.
You have to disconnect to connect.
Correct, that's what he says next.
That's his favorite thing.
Yes. In order to connect, you have to disconnect.
From all the noise and everything, you have to disconnect stuff from everything.
Well, that's what Rav Shechter, I think, was speaking about this in regard to Shabbos. But Shabbos is the day when Halacha forces us to
disconnect.
At least that day of disconnect. One more thing he said, and then we're going to go on. He said one of the most unbelievable things about Camp Simcha is that they don't give the staff access to Wi-Fi, internet. They are disconnected for most of the day. For a very short portion of the day, they allow them to check their devices and otherwise not. So when you're disconnected from everything around you, you can connect to what's right in front of you. Now let's go back to the pasuk from Sefer Shmuel that the Chafetz Chaim quotes. Actually, let's start that paragraph again. Ve'im kein lefi mashi yedua shakim ha-mitzvus u'yosar chashuv me'akravis karbanos. Keeping or upholding the mitzvus is more important than bringing the karbanos. So kamal shakasu b'sefer Shmuel, shema'o mizavach tov. It's more important to listen than to bring a nice offering. La'akshiv, not just to listen. Pay attention. Imani kan ha'kol kan mecheliv ilim than the fat of rams. It's such a challenge of our generation. It's such a difficult nisayon for the time in which we live. Not only to listen, but lahakshiv. Got to pay attention. Very hard. If he will accept upon himself chovas hashmira, the obligation to guard, where am I? Chovas hashmira, obligation to guard his mouth. Lishmar espiv mikol dibusha asar to haTorah. He will guard his mouth from every forbidden speech that the Torah forbid him from, such as rechilus, such as onas dvarim, such as all the categories that the Chafetz Chaim outlines in the tefillah that we start with. Chanufas, improper flattery, machlokas, kas, gaiva, habanas panim, everything that we have spoken about, you will guard your tongue. How much pleasure you will bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this. What's the pleasure that Hashem commanded us regarding these things and we have been able to fulfill? So I just wanted to share with you what I thought was very impactful. It's also coming up to the Yahrzeit. It's also the 3 weeks when we mourn Churban. It's also coming up to the Yahrzeit. One day, this is called Sefer Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Abish, Eliezer Abish. One day he was discussing with his friend the precarious situation in Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned how interesting it is. The stories we hear about the victims of Arab terror murderers more or less have a similar thread. The victims all seem to be very righteous and unique and learning or in chassid. They seem to be very good people. Whenever I think about it, it sends shivers down my spine, says Rabbi Abish. My friend, who's usually very outgoing, did not say anything in response. He simply got up from the couch. He asked me to come with him. I was a bit taken aback by his reaction. He took me into his study, and on the wall above his desk there was a picture. Look at that, he said. I don't know what he was trying to tell me. The picture over his desk, there was an old red cell phone. Over this man's desk, there was a picture of an old red cell phone. It's one thing to want your own nice cell phone, but hang a picture of an old cell phone at the study over your desk. What did the friend say? This is a picture of Malki Roth's cell phone. Does anyone remember Malki Roth? Don't raise your hand. Who's Malki Ra, says Rabbi Abish? Why would you have a framed picture of her cell phone? My friend said to me, Malki was a sweet, good-natured, popular 15-year-old girl. She was full of life and zest. She was especially devoted to her younger sister, Chaya Alisheva, who has major disabilities and is blind. I remember this at the time. She was very helpful with her younger sister. She was a very popular youth leader for 9-year-old girls. She had a magnetic personality. She saw the good in everybody. Everyone wanted to spend time with it. It's beautiful. Why do you have her cell phone over your desk? On the 20th day of Av, so I said we're coming up to the Yerutzin now, 5761, we're in 5777, so it's, is it 16 years? 61 to 77. Wow. On the 20th day of Av, she was in Yerushalayim with some friends enjoying a slice of pizza in the Sabar restaurant when an Arab murderer entered, we know, with her guitar case full of explosives and nails. Hundreds of innocent people were injured, 15 people. One of them was from this neighborhood, remember? Judith Lillian Greenbaum, Shoshana was her Hebrew name. She was a teacher at Hafter Halb. Some people know her when I speak about her. She was an only child. She was expecting her first child. Did you know her?
Yeah.
You know of her? Her parents said, we lost our only child and what would have been our first grandchild. So Malki Roth is one of the people killed. She was 4 months shy of her 16th birthday. What does all this have to do with everything? The red cell phone was Malki's cell phone. The police found it and they gave it back to her family. I had tears in my eyes, but I still didn't know why he hung up the cell phone. Go take a closer look at the cell phone. And his heart was thumping as he looked at the picture closely. The cell phone said, Asur Ladaber Lashon Hara. Back of the cell phone, she wrote in black markers, forbidden to speak Lashon Hara. So not only is this very relevant to our class, but I also thought it was very relevant. I try very hard that we should all remember during these 3 weeks why we're in the 3 weeks in the first place. What's the mourning for? What's the Churban? This is Churban. That picture, said my friend, does more to help me realize and internalize how much there is for me to accomplish in life. It helps me, the person who hung us up said. It helps inspire me to see how great common people, even 15-year-old girls, can become. I hung up the picture to inspire me to grow and every day to strive for greatness. Indeed, Hashem is sanctified from your holy ones. That's how he ends. Duran Meherita, he was killed in the America's Rock Massacre. Malki Roth, millions of Kedoshim in between. Hashem, Yukam Dama. Hashem takes the righteous and special ones who live on a higher plane than us. But somehow we have to look at their lives and try and learn from the people that they were. So while it was 15 years old and she had a cell phone and the focus of her life was Asur Ladaber Lashon Hara. How much Nachas Ruach Yagia Lakosh Baruch Humiza Shetziva Lanu Batorah Al Koza V'Na'asa Ritzona. Let's just finish the sentence because I don't think I have any interruptions in my own. Ulahefa chas v'sham. So the opposite is also true. Im ein ha'adam sam leiv odos diburo. If you don't pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth, and again, in today's day and age, that means what you're typing or talking into your cell phone. It doesn't only mean what you're telling to another person. V'u etzel kehefker. It's like hefker by you. How do you translate hefker? I don't know. Just, it's hefker. You don't take it seriously. It's just like garbage by you. You don't pay any attention. Lefat peit b'lishonu, to chirp, to tweet, to constantly talk with your mouth. Kasher yachvut ha-yetzer, whatever your yetzer tells you at that moment, you should just say, u'mimela b'vadai over b'mechai v'akol e'la parshas. It is absolutely certain that in the duration of your life, you are over on all these parshas in the Torah that command you. It's not possible. Shemidabras b'inyan e'chele kadibur, let's speak in regard to the portion of speech. Kamat sa'ar, what's the point? Not only are you causing pain to the other person, not only are you causing loss of pranasa to the whole world, not only are you going to come back as a barking dog, not only are you not going to strive to higher levels like Malki Roth, not only are you not really paying attention and you're not being makshiv to the person who's speaking to you, but your father is so pained. How do you feel when your children are fighting? It hurts you. We went through yesterday, Mills. How do you feel? Why can you both see somebody being bevatur to stop the fight? It's so common that children fight. But we should try and take a Mr. Aska. How does the parent feel? Not happy, not good. So how does the Kosh Baruch Hu feel? Kamat sa'ar, yagil Kosh Baruch Hu. You're causing your father pain. Kesherosh b'nei Adam mafkirim. When he sees the b'nei Adam are hefker. How do you translate hefker, ladies? Reject. It says reject. It just means, you know what it means, huh? You know, you don't pay attention, you don't care. Mavkiri mitzvosav, that you just are hefker with the mitzvahs. You don't care, you don't pay attention, it's not important to you. Va'al kein mishu hu yarei l'nafsho. Look what he says. Even if you're not yirei shamayim, look at this. Let's say you're not level to be yirei shamayim. At the very least, aren't you afraid for your own soul? You understand it's a higher level to fear God. Bless you. But let's say you don't fear God. At least you should fear for your own soul. You want to be a barak nadag when you come back? Va'yikra l'novach? You want to come back? Va'yikra lashon har, because you spent all your time calling a lashon har novach, you can come back a barak nadag. Or do you want to be ele maseh b'nei shol? Do you want to be zocha to get out of the land of Mitzrayim on your journey? So at least worry for your own nefesh, even if you're not worried about God's kavod, which is a higher level, which you should be worried about. But at the very least, worry about yourself. Yizahar me'od bazeh, you should take very great, you should be on guard. Va'ashri chalko, and fortunate is he who can behave in such a fashion. Okay, so we're just one paragraph away from finishing the chapter. Give me five, okay? Okay, any questions or comments before we go on? Why do I have this in here? I don't know. Any questions or comments before we go to, on the class, before we go to Halacha? Okay, one second. So here we go, passing judgment. Very good, because what I tell you about the guy in the story, so I'm trying not to pass judgment. I understand it could have been an emergency. You have no idea anymore what goes on. The initial reaction of the mind is, look, he's sitting next to his daughter texting. The second reaction is, maybe it's important. So we're always passing judgment, by the way. It's human nature. That's why Chazal tells, Veidanas ka Adam, Kafskos aselecha rav, Knelecha chaver, Veidanas ka Adam, Kafskos. Why in that order? It's in Perek Aleph. We just read this past Shabbos. Because if you have a Rav to guide you, and you have a friend to influence you positively, then when you're under those positive influences, it'll be much easier to give out this benefit of the doubt. You understand? It's a pattern, or it's a path. Have a Rav to give you proper guidance. Make sure the people you surround yourself with are worthy people, and then you will naturally become a person who judges other people positively, passing judgment. Before assuming a person's actions merit tochacha, reproof, musar, it must be absolutely certain, in fact, that he has sinned. So don't go around judging people for the side of chova, if it's really a schus. From the command, b'tzedek tishbor amisacha, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow, favorably. It's from Vayikra, it's precious kedoshim, perikya tes, pasuk tes vav, 1915. We learn if a person appears to be committing a transgression, which is totally out of character for him, we are to seek to understand what happened in a positive light. So you have to strive very hard. I'm sorry. You have to strive very hard to give a person a benefit of the doubt. If there's any way to interpret his actions as not involving transgression, we are required to do so. You know, talking about learning from children, this instance of Malki Rav, Hashem Yikom Damo Lahavdil, Ben Achaim, Ben Achaim. I was recently, my family was in a certain situation, and somebody insulted my daughter. I don't want to go into too many details because this is going online, but she was not even 14 yet. She was just shy of her 14th birthday, a few months shy of her 14th birthday. You know, when the kids say, I'm 13 and three quarters. So she was like 13 and three quarters. And we were in a certain situation, and an adult insulted her. Now, if I would have been the person, I would have been like very embarrassed and very insulted. And when I was taking my daughter home from this place, the kids are, I had to leave with my daughter. When I was taking my daughter home, it was unbelievable. She said maybe she was very overwhelmed, maybe she was very stressed out, it was a hard time for her. And like, my daughter had gotten dressed up, and she even put on a little bit of, you know, mascara and I think blush, and she put on nice clothing to go to this place. And I had to leave with her, and I had to take her home, and she was insulted, and I could not believe in the car what she was telling me. If it was me, I think I would have been very embarrassed and very insulted. And how could this person then? And she was saying about this person, maybe it was hard for her, maybe she was stressed, it's a hard night, it's a hard time. It was just an unbelievable thing. And that's really a very far distance to go. If there is any way to interpret one's actions as not involving transgression, we are required to do so. It's one thing when you're objective, but when you're subjectively influenced by what has happened, let's say someone harms you, let's say someone speaks negatively against you. So to try and go out of your way to find, this is again, this is in the Sefer on Shemir Salasha, to try and go out of your way to find extenuating circumstances that may have validated what the person does, it's a very high level. If it is absolutely clear that the person did sin in a manner which is out of character, we must assume he immediately regrets his actions and he has already repented. So let's say, listen, we all do averos. I don't say all the time, that doesn't sound nice, but whatever, we're human beings. Right? So sometimes we do things that are in character and sometimes we do things that are out of character. So let's say it's become clear that this person really did sin and it was really out of character to discuss the incident with anyone constitutes speaking Lashon Hara, because you should assume, first try and give them the benefit of the doubt, they really didn't do the Aveira. Then if you establish that they did do the Aveira, then why should you say, well, it was totally out of character, they are a good person, we must assume he immediately regretted his actions and he has already repented. So then to go to speak to somebody else about that would constitute Lashon Hara. Okay, the occasional sinner. So I was on the, let's go. If a person, any questions or comments? If a person whose actions may have involved a given transgression is known to commit that particular sin at least occasionally, so let's say this person is habitual to do this certain aveira, then the command, judge your fellow favorably, right, does not require you and seek a positive explanation for what he did. It's very interesting. Let's say you know that the person does this on a regular basis. So you know that they do it, so you don't necessarily have to go out of your way to find favor. However, it is meritorious to give the person the benefit of the doubt. You should still assume they did not sin. So I think that for us on our level, we should err on that side of caution. Instead of saying, well, now I'm patra, I don't have to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think it would be, instead of passing judgment on others, we should try, and even for the occasional sinner, find the meritorious way. Reproof would not be necessary. If it's absolutely clear the person did commit the sin, the mitzvah does apply in a respectful and caring manner, help them overcome their evil inclination by offering a proof. So again, it has to be a situation where you're able to do so. It has to be a situation where you know the person's going to listen to you. It has to be a situation that's totally the to'alas, all the requirements that we spoke of before. You have to be absolutely sure it's not hearsay. You know for a fact that it happened. If it actually emerges that this person did the sin, so try and help them out of the situations. There are times when it would be more effective for someone else, such as a rav or a close friend, to approve the individual. You know, I just had a phone call about a certain situation. Somebody called me and it's clear that there's an inyan going on. Somebody from the community called me. Could I maybe get involved and try and help with this inyan to stop what's going on? I said, I don't feel that I'm in that position. I would love to be able to help, but I said, is there a rav who's close to the situation who might be able to help? Again, without going into any details at all, from where I am, I can't go there. I'm not in the right position to give the tochacha or the reproof. Is there a rav who can perhaps help the individual? Therefore, it should be permissible for one who witnessed in transgression to inform the rav. How could he handle the situation? However, look at this. You may not act on hearsay. Over and over, we're repeated by the same thing. Which would mean you can't offer a proof unless you personally know what is absolutely going on. It would run's responsibility to find an effective means of reproving himself, to ask the Rav to personally investigate the situation. So we must always strive, what do we learn now? We must always strive to give others the benefit of the doubt. If it's a tzaddik, or if you think he's very righteous, and the person really never behaves like this, seems totally out of character, you don't have to worry, it's not your business to give him tochacha. You should assume to yourself, he must regret it. He has already done teshuva for it. It's not your place to talk to anybody. It's not your place to give tochacha. If it's a situation where this person is a habitual sinner, or you know that there's a situation going on, not by hearsay, you absolutely know it's to be true, you should try and give the tochacha in a caring and loving and constructive manner. If it's beyond your means, then you should try and seek out a rav who can help to allow the person to overcome his evil inclinations. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha that the Lashon Hara that got us into Galus and the refraining from Lashon Hara that got us out of Galus, we should somehow be able to mimic this pattern during these mournful 3 weeks. We mourn for Galus. If you remember what got us here, remember it's in the Gemara. It's in Yom 9b. The Gemara says the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinim. And then the Gemara says, wasn't there Sinas Chinim? And the first Beis Hamikdash also was it only Gila Rai Shvichus Dam and Vodazar. And the Gemara says there, they would sit and eat and drink at the table. And then when the people would get up, they would stab them with the swords of tongue. As the swords of tongue, the words. So just like every Galus, it seems to be, came from Lashon Hara, Be'ezus Hashem, we will smell Mashiach, we will hear Mashiach, when we are zocha to rid ourselves of this terrible barking of the dogs. Be'ezus Hashem. Any questions or comments? Okay, ladies, thank you very much.